I'm so glad that everyone's here this morning. It's good to see some visiting faces. The middle McKinney minion is here, and so we're glad to see Lily back. She's here for a whole month, and there's big smiles on the rest of the family's faces. We're glad that you're here. I see some visitors here. We welcome you. This is a family, and we are here simply to serve God, to love Him, to honor Him, and we're just grateful for your presence here with us. On Sunday mornings, when I've had the opportunity to speak, and this morning Jack is in Eugene at the Coburg Road Church, and I believe this evening as well, and so he will be with them, and he's sorry he can't be here with us, but it's a wonderful opportunity for him to be with the saints there. But on Sunday mornings, we've been going through the Sermon on the Mount, and we've been doing so the whole year. And it's one of those things where I'm realizing we're just finishing chapter 6. The Sermon on the Mount goes through chapter 7. I leave on the 19th, come back on the 29th, and I don't know if we're going to finish the Sermon on the Mount. So this might be one we carry into the next year, and that's all right. But we are to Matthew chapter 6, verse 25. And I appreciate Louis reading that section of text, even though it was a longer reading. And here Jesus is going to talk about not being anxious for the things that we need, the basic things of this earth. And just to share a couple quotes with you and then some introduction things, I love Robert Frost, the poet. He wrote, "The reason why worry kills more people than work is because more people worry than work." And I thought that was very accurate in many ways. And I believe Mark Twain hits this on the head. And he wrote, "I'm an old man, and I've known a great many troubles, but most of them never happened." And isn't that the case? Where we get so concerned about things that might happen, and oftentimes we allow the cares and the worries of tomorrow to rob us of the joy today. And it turns out that almost far too often, that which we are concerned about or worried about, I'll use that word actually, tomorrow, in fact, never comes to pass and never takes place. It happens far too often. But when you just think about the stress that people have when it comes to this life and just the basic things, when you look at our economy, and especially when you have like the crash of the market and the housing industry goes wrong, people start to get really concerned, don't they? And especially when you start looking at all the bills that stack up on top of each other. There's the mortgage, and there's the kids, and there's the student loans, and there's the car payments, and the health insurance, and the life insurance, and the car insurance, and the groceries, and the electric bill, and the phone bill, and the clothes, and it goes on and on and on, doesn't it? And oftentimes, we can get to a point where we get so concerned and so worried about, you know, how am I going to take care of this or how am I going to take care of that? This lesson has been very timely for Kylie and I because we're in one of those moments where you think you're going to get out, you know, and things are going to be so much, you know, just better in these plans you had made. And then your student loans call and say, you're not going to pay $150 a month anymore. You're going to pay $500 a month. And then your apartment says we're increasing your rate $150 a month. And so guess who's moving again in a couple months? And, you know, life happens, doesn't it? And it's so easy to start to worry and become anxious about even the basic things like how am I going to eat or how am I going to take care of the basic things I need to take care of? And Jesus is going to have something to say about that. And I want to reaffirm, when we get into this text, Jesus is not talking about medical conditions where people have PTSD or different disorders or different things that are going on that cause different stress or anxiety or things like that. When Jesus is talking about not being anxious, Jesus here, as we're going to see, is demonstrating someone who has, either by choice or by ignorance, a lack of trust or a lack of faith in God's ability to provide for the one that seeks after Him. And in the text here, what Jesus is going to make very clear is that we are not to be anxious for these things that we will discuss, but instead we are to seek God's kingdom first and His righteousness, and He promises that if you do that, He will care for you and what you need. Let's jump right into our text. And Jesus begins in verse 25 by saying, "Therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on." Now, of course, naturally, the first question we have to ask is this: what does Jesus mean when he says, do not be anxious about your food or your clothing? And that word is different from how we might use a term like concerned. And so oftentimes in defining something, it's really helpful to talk about what it's not first. What Jesus is not saying, not worrying or not being anxious, does not mean to not plan ahead, not be aware, or to be irresponsible. And here's what I mean. One does not simply sit back and not work and sit at home and do nothing and go, "It's okay, I'm just going to sit here and pray 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and I'm not going to work for my family, I'm not going to do anything else, because I'm just going to seek God's kingdom, and magically, ravens, like with Elijah, will bring me my food, and God will take care of me that way." No, God expects, and part of his provision is giving you the ability to work for your family, and to be responsible, and to take care of these things. And so that is not what Jesus is talking about. This is not a license to be lazy, and it does not mean that you're not aware of things. You know, if you know a bill is coming up, you need to plan ahead and budget and make those choices to care for your family as you should. What Jesus is talking about is different. Anxiety in this sense is a lack of trust in God. And really, worry or anxiety in this sense is a lack of faith. It's saying, I know that God has said that if I seek his kingdom first and his righteousness, that he'll take care of these things. But what if he doesn't? And if he doesn't, how am I going to take care of it? That's what Jesus is talking about here. It's the heart that doesn't trust that God will actually do that which he's going to do. And so Jesus is going to build a case here in these first five verses to talk about why we have no business being anxious about these things, because God is so powerful and he knows we need these things, and he has promised that if we seek his kingdom that he will provide these things. So Jesus is going to first make an argument from the greater to the lesser. And by that, it's, you know, is not this greater than this, is basically the argument and how it goes. Paul does the same thing that Jesus does here in Romans when he says, if God did not even spare his only son, will he not give to us all things? It's an argument from the greater to the lesser. And so Jesus says here to begin with, is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? When you think about the whole purpose of food, why do we eat in the first place? There's only one purpose to eat food, other than the fact that it tastes wonderful if my wife cooks it, because she's the best cook in the world, and you can take that to the bank. But if it's just eating, we only eat for one purpose, and what is that? To keep our body alive. But Jesus here, when you look at what he's saying, he says the whole purpose of food anyway is to preserve your life. But when you think about it, who created your life in the first place? Jesus did. And Jesus and the Father and their creation of life were not only the creator, but they created a means of sustaining their creation. When you talk about God, you have to talk about him as creator and sustainer in the same breath. Think about Adam and Eve for a moment. When they realized they were naked in the garden after they had sinned, what was the first thing after the discussion that God had with them that God did for them? Do you remember? He made clothes for them, didn't he? And he knew what they needed. And even though they had just sinned against him, God provided for their basic necessities, because when they tried to do it themselves, it wasn't right. It wasn't good enough. God provided that which is better. And Jesus' whole point here is, when you consider that God is the creator of life and the body itself, why are you concerned about that life or clothing that body? Because God is the creator, he will also be the sustainer. God is not so foolish to create life and have no means of preserving it, or to create the body and have no means of keeping it safe and keeping it warm. Jesus is making an argument from the greater to the lesser and saying, don't miss the focus and don't miss the priorities here. God is in control, and God knows about these things. And not only this, but now Jesus is going to make an argument from the lesser to the greater. And his argument from the lesser to the greater is going to come out in two ways. He's going to point to two aspects of creation that God provides for and that God cares for. I love birds. I think they're just fascinating, and there's all different kinds of birds. And when you consider what Jesus says here, it's very wise, because he asks us to look at the birds. Now, that word is consider. Your Bible might say consider. That's not simply to glance. That's to observe and to learn from, is what that means. He says, I just want you to sit back and watch the birds for a while. And if you sit back and you watch them, this is what you'll take away. They don't sow, nor do they reap, nor do they gather into barns. They, you know, go around and collect what they need to, but they don't have a job, they don't work, they don't store up, that type of a thing. He says, they don't have anything like that. They're just a part of my creation made to glorify me, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. The birds don't go hungry. In some way, in some fashion, God provides for these birds so that all of them may eat. And you have the food chain, and that's really interesting to study, that some birds eat this, and then these birds eat these birds, and then those birds eat these birds, right? And you have this whole process, but the way it all works, the circle of life, I won't sing it, is God provides for his creation. It's not just the birds, it's all of creation. God provides for them. He gives them something to eat. Now let me ask you, go back to creation in your mind, because this is where Jesus is bringing you to. Who was the last, or what was the last thing of God's creation, the pinnacle of his creation? It wasn't the birds. It wasn't the animals. Who was it? It was you and me. And God said, I'm going to make man in our image. Jesus brings attention to our value as God's creation. And he says, are you not of more value than they? If God is willing and able and does always take care of his creation, which is not the highlight and the pinnacle of his creation, but just part of his creation to bring glory to him, and he provides for them, these birds, the smallest sparrow. He says, don't you know, and wouldn't you think, you who are so much more valuable, who are made in my image, that I notice what you need and that I am able and willing to take care of you. Jesus' second illustration is that of flowers. The ESV calls them lilies of the field. And in verse 28, it says, why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I tell you, not even Solomon in all his glory was arrayed like one of these. And that's amazing to think about. Solomon was the richest man in the world. You know, you can't put anything, any designer car that someone has today on what Solomon had. Solomon had so much wealth. Anything that there was to have, Solomon had it. Anything there was to wear, Solomon wore it. And God says, Solomon doesn't even touch the way that I'm able to clothe the grass, the fields. And flowers are just beautiful. My grandmother takes lots of pictures and paints them. And you can't help but notice them and how magnificent and splendid they actually are. And God here is giving us a message through His Son. He's saying, I clothe even the fields. And He says, if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will He not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? That phrase is very important. O you of little faith. Go back to verse 27. We skipped over verse 27. Jesus asks a really important question that divides these two illustrations. And Jesus asks this. He says, which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to the span of his life? You know, it's very interesting that Jesus says that because studies actually demonstrate and show that people that are anxious and worried about finances or about these things, you know what actually happens to them in general? They actually live a lot shorter because it wears on them and it wears on their body. And Jesus is making a point. You have no control over these things. God is the one who provides these things. And so you worrying about these things won't change them. And it's not going to add a single hour to your life. Jesus proposes that challenge. Who has ever gained by being anxious and not trusting me and worrying about these things, trying to do it themselves? You can't find a single one. The point here is that God will provide what we need, and maybe sometimes in ways that we don't expect. Think about Israel for a moment. Israel's wandering around in the wilderness, and they're up to a million people. And they need food, right? And they need water. How do you think, if you were in charge, how would you provide food and water for a million people? You know, maybe I would lead them to a place that was full of it, right? No, they're wandering around in the wilderness. How does God provide water for the children of Israel? He tells Moses to speak to a rock. How would you like to bend Moses? And of course, we know the story behind what Moses actually did, but God, we need water. Where do you want us to go? I want you to go to this rock over here, and I want you to talk to the rock, and the rock is going to provide enough water for a million people. Are you serious? You know, what? And here's the point. God is the creator of all things. It is not even a slightest flinch for Him to provide what we need, and perhaps in ways that we might not ever think about. God is able to do it, and He is all-powerful. You don't worry about it. You just leave it up to Him. If He promised, I'm going to care for these things, God will provide and care for those things. Perhaps it's through someone else. Perhaps it's through His own intervention. And we know that angels minister to us today. And who knows if we've entertained angels ourselves? We just don't know. But we get so misguided when we worry about things and not trust God, because I want to use this illustration for a moment. And I talked to Jack about this. He thought it was good, so hopefully you think it's good too. You know, I'm a Ducks fan. Sorry, Bruce. But, you know, the University of Oregon just hired a new coach, the coach from USF. And when he showed up at the Oregon facilities, his first response was just, wow, at their facilities, because they've got Nike money, don't they? Phil Knight backs Oregon, and so they are not hurting with any kind of money, right? Now, I want you to imagine a young man who grew up really poor, but is an All-American, just the best football player, carried his high school team, was scouted by Oregon, and Phil Knight himself shows up and says, young man, I want you to come be the running back for the Oregon Ducks. You're going to start as a freshman. And he goes, you know, I really appreciate that offer, Phil, but I have no money. There's no way that I can afford the tuition to Oregon. And Phil goes, you don't worry about that. I will pay for your tuition. You just focus on one thing, and that's to play football. You go win games. You win games, I'll pay for your tuition. Now, if Phil Knight walked up to you and said he's going to pay your tuition, do you have to worry about your tuition? That guy's got more money than almost anybody else in the United States. No way. Now, how foolish would it be if that young man shows up and he starts missing practice? And the coach pulls him aside and says, why are you missing practice? He says, well, I got a part-time job. Well, why did you get a part-time job? Well, in case Phil doesn't pay my tuition, I need to come up with some way to be able to pay for my tuition. What would you say to that young man? You know, you don't understand what's being provided for you. You don't need to worry about this. You just focus on one thing and the rest of it is taken care of. We get that because we're dealing with monetary things. How much more when the creator of you and me, the creator of the basic things that we need in this life, says, you just focus on one thing. You seek my kingdom and his righteousness. You don't worry about the rest. I'll take care of it. How foolish are we if we start thinking, but what if he doesn't? What if maybe I need to take some other precautions? Brethren, we have misunderstood the Lord and his power if we begin to worry and be concerned that God is not able to do what he's promised. We need to seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. And he says, all these things will be added to you. Picking up in our text in verse 31, Jesus says, therefore, do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. See, Jesus calls into account the Gentiles, those that did not know God. They had reason to be concerned and to worry and to be anxious because they did not believe in a God that would provide for them and did not obey a God that would protect them and give them what they needed. They had to try to figure it out on their own. Until Jesus opened up the gates for the Gentiles, and those who were obedient to him would be included in everything Jesus says here. But I want you to recognize this fact. He says, this is what the Gentiles seek after. That's their concern, because they don't really understand. And brethren, when we forget God's promises and we don't trust him, we're living like a practical atheist. We're living like a heathen or a Gentile because we aren't trusting in God and his promises. We are of little faith. David wrote back in Psalm 37, I have been young and now I'm old, and yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken or his children begging for bread. See, God does not promise that there will not be poverty in this world or there will not be hunger in this world. We see it every day, don't we? But in my lifetime, I've never seen someone who seeks God's kingdom first and his righteousness ever starve. I've never seen a Christian go without clothing. I've never seen a Christian go without the basic things they need to survive. And even when you go to these countries that do not have the abundance we have here, you talk to Jack and you talk to Bob, and you know what? The Christians, guess what they're all wearing? They all have clothes, don't they? And they have food. It might not be what we eat, but God provides what they need. And when you see someone who professes to be a Christian and yet does not have what they need, there's a symptom there, and perhaps they aren't truly seeking God and his righteousness. I've known a lot of Christians that were Christians, and they didn't honor God. They were fleshly minded. And they spent their money on fleshly things, and they pursued after fleshly things, and they did fleshly things. And then they turned and blamed God when they didn't have the basic things that they needed. I want you to notice God's promise here. Christ's promise is, seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. That's conditional, isn't it? God will provide the things you need if you are seeking His kingdom first and His righteousness. It's like the young man going to U of O. You focus on football, and as long as you're focused on that, the rest will be taken care of. And here, the Lord speaks to us and says, you seek first His kingdom and His righteousness. You don't have to worry about these things. No, that doesn't mean don't work. No, that doesn't mean be irresponsible. But it means when you're concerned and things look like they might be tight and you're not sure how it's going to work out, you continue to serve God and trust Him, and God will provide every single time. It's a promise, and you can take it to the bank. We do our part. And what Jesus means here when He says, seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, it does not mean we don't do our part, but it does mean that we stop trying to do His. That's why Jesus concludes in this way. He says, therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Isn't that the truth? And Jesus just brings out and articulates this truth for us. You know, I got enough things to try to figure out today. And we need to take it one day at a time. Where if God has allowed me to have life today, then I know that He is able and willing to sustain that life today. And so if He gives me breath in the morning, I'm not going to be concerned about if He'll give me breath tomorrow. I'm going to focus on serving Him today and being a light today. And every day, my prayer is that I leave the world in a better place than it was the day before. Let God take care of the rest. We just stay in our lane and focus on what we need to do. Don't worry that God won't provide. God will take care of the basic things that you need. No, you might not ever get your 57 Chevy. God is not providing a 57 Chevy as your basic necessity. Sorry, Dad. But you've got clothes on your back. And there's food in the refrigerator. God will always provide if we seek Him first and His righteousness. All these things will be added to us. God has taken that burden off our back for the purpose of us focusing on our mission. We've been created in Christ Jesus for good works. Not to work it out on ourselves. He will do the work for us. We are to be devoted to the righteousness that He's made us in Christ Jesus. If you're here this morning and you've not obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ, this promise that Jesus gives is for you. And oftentimes He uses this family to do exactly what He said. More than I can't even count as many times in my life where God has provided like this through you in my life. And I've seen it happen in the other lives of those of you that are here this morning. And if you become a part of this family, you better be here and a part of this family, but know that this family is going to help take care of you too. If you want to obey the gospel of Jesus Christ, repent of your sins, be buried with Him in baptism, rise to walk in newness of life, led by the Spirit, and you'll be forgiven all of your sins and given the Holy Spirit. Answer this call now as we stand and sing the song of invitation.